Hello, I'm Britta Mädke, Senior Scientific Editor at Cell, and you are listening to a Cell paperclip. Biologists have spent the better part of the past few decades dissecting the proteins and pathways that drive the formation of many cancers. In the case of melanoma, a serious form of skin cancer, the culprits include the kinases RAS and RAF. More than half of all melanomas carry mutations in these oncogenes. Knowing that these kinases are so often overactive in melanomas, researchers have come up with inhibitors and have tested them in the clinics. But in the January 22nd issue of Cell, Richard Murray and his colleagues at the Institute of Cancer Research in London warned that inhibitors of RAF might actually make melanomas grow faster. Richard, thanks for joining us. Your findings sound like terrible news for cancer patients. Were you surprised that RAF inhibitors can actually make things worse?
I think that it could be interpreted that this is bad news for melanoma patients. To answer the second part of the question, it was a surprise that the BRAF selective inhibitors would activate the pathway in RAS mutant melanoma cells. But I think that this is also very important, and you could also see it as positive news, in that it at least tells us more about how these drugs work, and it indicates where patients should be negatively selected as well as positively selected for clinical trials. And I think that will improve patient outcome, because patients won't be, first of all, treated unnecessarily, but secondly, treated with drugs that could potentially make them worse.
So you set out to study the effects of different inhibitors on the RAF kinases. What were you initially hoping to find?
Well, I must admit that using the RAS mutant cell lines was almost a control for the BRAF mutant cell lines.
Mm-hmm.
And we were expecting the BRAF inhibitors to be rather inert in the RAS mutant cell. So I think you could almost argue that we probably expected exactly the opposite of what we did find.
So what's actually going on? Perhaps you can give us a short reminder of the RAS-RAF signaling pathway and explain why inhibiting specifically BRAF turns out to be a bad thing.
So in about half of human melanomas, the BRAF protein is mutated, and the most common mutation in BRAF is the V600E mutation, which accounts for about 90% of the mutations. RAS mutations occur in about 25% of human melanomas, and so it's really been clear that this pathway is a critical driver of the disease for a number of years now. And so a lot of people have been interested in making drugs which would target BRAF and use those to treat patients with the BRAF mutation. And indeed, those drugs are now in clinical trial, where they're showing some remarkable responses in the patients who have those mutations. It's quite clear that if patients don't have those mutations, then they don't respond. And I think what our data now shows, and the real surprise is that with RAS mutant patients, the outcome could actually be worse than if you don't treat the patients, because in those particular tumor samples, what happens is that when you inhibit BRAF, it has this cryptic activity whereby it forms a complex with another closely related protein called CRAF, and that then hyperactivates CRAF, which drives the pathway and drives proliferation.
So why does inactive BRAF behave so strangely and activate CRAF? Why can't active BRAF do the same?
So this is to do with the normal function of BRAF. So it looks like in RAS mutant cells, BRAF normally keeps itself in an inactive conformation. It keeps itself inert. The mechanism by which that occurs is not completely clear, but it quite clearly needs the kinase activity of BRAF. When you inhibit BRAF, you release this auto-inhibited function of BRAF, and it now acts as a scaffold protein. It goes up to the plasma membrane, where it forms a complex with oncogenic RAS and with CRAF, which is already at the plasma membrane and being activated. But that complex now allows or facilitates CRAF hyperactivation. And so what BRAF is actually doing is it's not signaling itself. It's actually acting as a facilitator to hyperactivate CRAF. Now, this is probably an artifact of the fact that we are inhibiting BRAF in those cells. But it's not entirely an artifact, because we know that in a small proportion of human patients, you do get kinase-dead mutations in BRAF, which are coincident with oncogenic mutations in RAS. And we presume that in those patients, that combination of oncogenes is extremely potent at driving the tumor growth.
And for future clinical studies, would you argue that one needs to be careful which patients receive the BRAF inhibitor? A step towards personalized medicine, I suppose?
We would definitely argue that. I think that when you go into personalized medicine, what is becoming clear is that you need to have both positive and negative selection criteria. And in melanoma, I would argue that BRAF selective inhibitors should only be given to patients with BRAF mutations. And so we can't just give all comers, even in phase one clinical trials, I would say. We need to make sure that we positively select for patients who have BRAF mutations and also negatively select for patients who have oncogenic RAS mutations. But I think that this is probably going to become much more broadly applicable. If you look at other types of mutations that occur in other oncogenes, it is becoming quite clear that in some backgrounds, in targeted inhibitors of specific oncogenes have a very poor prognosis in another genetic context. And so I think that with targeted therapies, with personalized medicine, right from the get-go, when you start the phase one clinical trial, you need to have your criteria for positive patient selection very carefully organized indeed, very carefully arranged indeed.
And is this selection an easy thing to do, or rather labor-intensive?
So I think, you know, the question of how easy this is to do depends on how much you understand your biochemical pathway. The negative selection really only becomes possible once you understand what the contraindications are. And so formally or technically, these things are reasonably easy to do. In the case of BRAF, you simply need to sequence all the RAS genes. Mm-hmm. But we now know which genes to sequence. Mm-hmm. Before we had that information, it would have been very difficult to know that that was what's needed. And so I think this is only easy to do once you know what you should be targeting. Before that, it's probably impossible to mm-hmm. do. But once you do have that information, it's just a technical exercise, and it should be quite possible for most disease indications.
Richard, thanks for taking time to talk with us about this interesting work. You can check out the paper by Richard Murray in the January 22nd issue of Cell at www.cell.com. I'm Britta Metke, and you've been listening to a Cell paperclip.